We're continuing the Rush on the service of Yom Kippur. We're on the top of the left-hand column in the first page of the Rush, in Yuma. Ubalo lemizrach ha'azara. So now the Kohen Gadol comes to the eastern side of the Azara. He's coming over here. East of the Mizbeach. No, because he had gone to the other side, Bein Olam Ela Mizbeach, to do the vidui on the cow, on his cow. Now he comes to the eastern side, Lagril, to draw lots, Sheino Tzricha La Sheye Bazra. Because the lots do not have to be directly in front of the Heichal, in front of the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKodashim. They just have to be B'makom Kadosh in the Azara. V'sgan b'minov rosh betav b'smolo, he has the assistant Kohen Gadol to his right, the rosh betav to his left, v'sham shnei sirim shavim, and there they'd have two goats that were equal b'mareh, in their looks, uv'koman, in their height, v'ayal kichatam kechad, and they would purchase them together, v'chol zeino ma'akev ela sheino ela le'mitzvah. This is a preference, it's a mitzvah, but it's not le'ikuva, meaning if they couldn't get the same height, the same looks, or buy them both at once, that was still kosher. The kalpe ayasham, and they'd have this little box, shel etz, made of wood, umachzik bet yadayim, you could fit in two hands, uvashne goralot, and inside they'd have two lots. Ha'achad chakuk bo l'ashem, ha'sheni la'azazel. One had Hashem's name inscribed in it, and one had la'azazel inscribed on it. Ve'hem ksherim mikol davar, and you can make the lots out of anything. You can make them out of wood, out of stone, out of metal. But they had to be the same size, and they had to be made of the same material. They had to be equal. So they originally were made of wood, and in the days of the Second Temple, someone donated gold once. V'toref yadav bakalpi b'inyan shelo yuchal lechaven eze shashem v'eze shelazazel. And he quickly sticks his hands in and pulls out the lots in a way that he can't tell. He can't feel which one has more engraving, which one says lazazel, and which one says lashem. He swiftly draws the two lots. Ve'elav b'chol yad goral echad, and he draws one lot in each hand, l'shem shnei asirim, corresponding to the two goats. Im shel shem alav b'minov, the one that's designated for Hashem, came up in his right hand. Hasgan omer lo agbet yemincha, then his assistant, the second in command, tells him, raise your right hand. Ve'im b'smolo ala, betav omer lo agbet smolcha, and if it came up in his left hand, so the Rosh Beis Av tells him, lift your left hand. Bintanan al shnei asirim, the Kohen Gadol places the lots on the two goats, v'amar l'ashem chatat. And he says, the one that he puts Hashem, the goro for Hashem, he says, this is now for Hashem for chatas. ואם לא נתן הגורלות על הסירים, רק שאלה וידי זה עלה בימינו ואיז בשמאלו לא יקב. And if he didn't literally place the lots on the goats, but he knows which one came out for which goat that's still kosher, he just missed the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to place it on the goats. קשר לשון של זהורית משקל שני סלעים בראש סיר המשתלח. He tied a red ribbon, whose the red ribbon's weight was two coins, and he tied it on the around the head of the goat that's going to be sent off the cliff. Ve'emido b'shar ha'mizrachi b'mkom sh'motzin oto l'sholcho, and he'd stand that goat by the eastern gate where it's going to exit. It's going to go out through the eastern gate. It's going to go out towards the desert. ולנשחת היה כושר לשון אחד בצברו, and the goat that's going to be slaughtered, they tie a ribbon around its neck, כדי שלא יתערב לא בסיר המשתלח ולא בשאר סירים, so that they don't end up having the goats getting confused with other goats or with one another. ובסדר אתה קוננת כתיב, אף סעיר של שם יעמידנו כנגד בית שחיטתו, and in the davening, where we say Ata Konanta, that's the beginning of the paragraph. So it says that the goat that was for Hashem, they would tie it opposite the place where it's going to be slaughtered. Vitema, and that seems wondrous, says the Rosh. The Be'ed Yibagmara Masik Dak Shirakai, that it doesn't mean that They'd set up the goat. They'd set him up where he's going to be slaughtered, but they'd tie the ribbon where he's going to be slaughtered. And the way he words it in the song, in the prayer, is as though we're going to set up the goat where it's going to be slaughtered. Ubalo etzel par shnia, vitva da'alav. Now, here there's a machlokas tanoim. When it says balo etzel par shnia, is it a second cow, or is it a second time that he's coming to the same cow? And he's going to say vidui on it, and this time he makes vidui on himself, alechav ha-kohanim, and his brethren the kohanim, shetzirich shiavo zakai v'yichaper al ha-chayav. Lecha chayam mitvadet chila alav levado sheyeh zakai. Because being that he is going to represent all the other sinners, the other kohanim and the rest of Israel, so he has to first cleanse himself. And one of the things we see from here and from the Mishnah in Shavuos is that the vidui that he makes on the cow and on the goat, that's what attains atonement. Everything else has to be done. But the atonement is already there once he confesses on the animal. So the Torah wanted him to first confess about himself, so that then he is meritorious, then he is zakai, he has cleansed himself, and now he can start working on behalf of other people. He takes care of himself. After he takes care of himself, now he can deal and help other people.
First time he did vidui on the cow, did he slaughter the cow?
No.
He did vidui
for himself, his wife, and family.
And now he's coming back and he's doing vidui.
A second time for the other kohanim. Why didn't he do it all at once? The Torah says, first let him cleanse himself, then let him deal with everyone else.
Yeah, but first let him cleanse himself, then he could have dealt with everyone else. How come he had to do the azazel?
I don't know where it says, but I think the simple answer is, really, all of Israel should come before the Kohanim. And all of Israel should come before him. So the Gemara says, yeah. But in order for him to be worthy of doing it for all of Israel, let him first cleanse himself. Once he's cleansed himself, let him deal with all of Israel. Then come the rest of the Kohanim. Isn't that logical? If the Torah would say to do himself and his family and all the Kohanim, and then all of Israel, you wouldn't have known whether the idea is he should first cleanse himself, or the idea is Kohanim come first, they're priests. Here the Torah says, no. First let him do him, then all of Israel, then the Kohanim. So why are you coming to the cow twice? Ah, now I learned this concept, that if you're going to help people, you have to first take care of yourself.
It's interesting, though, about what you just said about the vidui being the ikar of the kapara. I think the Rambam enumerates, he says vidui and kapara, each one, he says you can't do kapara without vidui. But you can't do...
We're talking about vidui on an animal, not vidui that you and I do in our tefillah.
Right. That's two different animals, actually, right?
Which?
If he the Kohen does vidui for his own family first?
It seems it's a machlokas. It seems the rush is going with the understanding it's on the same count. For him, his family, and all the Kohanim.
So he does vidui for himself and his family, and then afterwards he does for the Kohanim, the other Kohanim?
Himself and his family on the cow, then he goes to the goat, draws the lot, does vidui for all of Israel, and goes back to the cow and does for all of the Kohanim on the same cow. Shechtov kibel damo b'mizrak, he slaughters the cow. He receives the blood in a special vessel. V'ntano l'mishayam ha-mares shelo ikosh. He'd give it to the mixer, the human mixer, a guy who'd have to mix it so that it doesn't congeal. V'ha-mares haya omed al ha-shura ha-rvi'it shelo yitzpa shel ha-zara shemin ha-echal v'lachutz. The mixer would stand in the fourth row outside the heichal. Fourth row, he'd be standing out here, mixing so that it doesn't congeal. Because from the Heichal inward, no one could be present when the Kohen Gadol is doing his thing. I think it says in the Jerusalem Talmud, Tosfos quotes, that even the demons were kicked out of there. No spirits could be in the temple. Everyone was kicked out. V'chol adam lo yeh, v'chol adam. I think the Medrash Darshan's, even spirits were kicked out of the temple.
So this is the cow that he just slaughtered?
Yes.
If it doesn't mention a second slaughtering, so we'd have to assume that there's only one cow.
Right. V'natal machtami zahav adom shemachzeket shlosha kabin. Then he'd take a shovel that was made of red gold, and that shovel would be able to hold the volume of 3 kav. A kav is 24 eggs, the volume of 24 eggs. So you got to figure that's about 4 Coke bottles. Vaita daka obe, and that gold was very refined. It was a very thin shovel. Vayala bet yad aroch, and it would have a long handle. Shemagat tachat zro, so that the handle would come down under his arm, because he needs as much help as he can get. So they make the gold very light, very thin gold, and a long handle, so he has the support that the handle leans against his arm. Kedei shetez rom sayato, so his arm could help him. Vayale Nishtok, upirush Rashi, tabat, sheyishma kolo bevo. It had a nishtok. What's a nishtok? So Rashi explains it means it had a ring that would cling and clang. It would make noise so that when he'd approach, everyone would hear him coming. Rabbeinu Chananel pirush nautik, shaya ala kmo nautik, kedei shelo yichve, kshehi mitchamen min hagechalim. Rabbeinu Chananel says, you know what a nishtok is? A nishtok is some kind of encasing that they had, because if you're going to carry a solid metal shovel filled with the boiling coals, well, then it's going to get very hot and he's going to burn his hand. So, two opinions, what is the nishtok? According to Rashi, there's a big chiddush. Rashi seems to learn that what it says by the bells on his coats, that everyone should hear when he comes in, that's even if there's no one present, and even if it isn't the bells on his coat, even if it's a ring that's on the shovel that's clinging, it's making noise as he's approaching, that's also a fulfillment of that din. So that needs work, and the easiest way to understand it is that it's a Kabbalistic concept. It's not about all of us hearing the Kohen Gadol walking, but the fact that there are bells ringing when he walks has other meaning.
But he does have bells on his face.
Not in Yom Kippur, not in his white garments when he's entering the Holy of Holies. Although ordinarily traffic going up to the Mizbech would go up on the right and come down on the right, the Kohen Gadol today goes up in the center of the ramp to the altar. And he takes a shovel full of burning coals. Coals that are no longer with a fire on them, but they're fully burnt. He'd come down, place them on the floor of the Azara. Then he'd take a shovel full of ktores. Now that ktores, those spices, were special spices that were brought back to be better refined, to be ground once more. They ground them again so that they'd be even more refined than the ordinary ktores. And the kohen would take a shovel full of his two hands. There was a special measurement, not too full, not too low, the exact right amount of two handfuls of his hands. And he'd empty it from his hands into a shovel, into another shovel, into another vessel, container. So he takes in his right hand, in his stronger arm, he takes the shovel with the heavy coals. And the smaller shovel, which just has the spices, it's much lighter, he takes that in his left hand. Now he enters the Kodesh, the Heichal, the Holy, and he walks along the southern wall. So he's walking along the southern wall, and in the days of the Second Temple, there were two parochot, two curtains. So he goes along the south, and he's going to enter in between the curtains, go north, enter again between the curtains, he's in the Holy of Holies, go back south, and then stand in between the Badim, in between the two poles. So that's what we're about to read now. He's going along the south next to the menorah.
Can I ask you something?
If it's short.
Wasn't it five of the things which weren't in the Second Temple was Pochet, like after Pochet?
I didn't... I don't think it's listed there. It's a good question. So he went Ben Mizbech Vela Menorah. He'd go between the Mizbech of the Ktoris and the Menorah. This is a discussion in the Gemara, whether he'd go along the wall, or there were other things in the wall, and the wall was black from the soot of the menorah, and if he'd rub against that, his white clothes would get black. So he doesn't walk exactly against the wall. He walks in between the menorah and the mizbeach. He goes in the southern part, but not directly against the wall, because if he'd go between the menorah and the wall, so the menorah always has fire coming from it. And as you guys probably know, when you light Shabbos candles, the place where you light Shabbos candles, after a time, the wall gets black from all the smoke there. We light Shabbos candles once a week. Here you had seven candles lighting 7 days a week. So he wouldn't go against the wall. He'd go between the menorah and the mizbeach. Until he reached those two curtains that would separate between the Kodesh Kodoshim and the Kodesh. These two curtains were instead of the wall that was there during the period of the first temple. And as we showed, the external curtain would have an opening on the southern wall, and the internal curtain in the Holy of Holies would have an opening by the northern wall. Even though Rabbi Yossi holds there was only one curtain separating, in this, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, even though ordinarily Rabbi Yossi is a stronger halachic opinion here, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that says there were two curtains, because over here you have a stam mishnah later on that goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Shelachar ha-machloket shone, because after this machlokes, the mishnah says, ha-chitzona pufa min adarom. The Mishnah later on says, the Mishnah later on assumes the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because it says the external curtain was opened by the southern wall. You see, it's talking about two curtains. The odd, and another reason the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Chanina savak Rabbi Yehuda, because the Amora Rabbi Chanina goes like Rabbi Yehuda, lekaman damar b'tzad tzafoni ha'omedu machti, later on. ואין להעביר היה מאותה משנה, התחיל מחטא ויורד מאחן היה מתחיל מקרן מזרחית צפונית, ופירוש רשי דסבר דפיתחה בצפון קאי. The Gemara later on is going to discuss when the Kohen Gadol comes out and does the sprinkling on the altar that's in here, which corner does he begin with? And the Mishnah says he begins with the northern corner. So Rashi says, well, that Mishnah is going with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that there was only one curtain and the opening was on the north. So you'll tell me, well, you see, there you have a Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. Maybe the halacha should be like him. He says, no, don't bring me a proof from that. He says it still, that's not going to be the halacha because Rabbi Akiva disagrees and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Fine. That Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda but Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, he's stronger than Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, we finished that discussion. So the Rosh says the halacha is there were two curtains the way we described. So he'd walk between the two curtains till he reaches the northern wall. The Jerusalem Talmud says, wait a second. Two curtains, he's carrying burning coals. You know what? The curtains are going to go up in flames. So the Jerusalem Talmud says, yeah, he'd have to shove out with his elbows to spread out the curtains as he'd pass through with the burning coals so as not to burn down the house. So now, he's entering the Holy of Holies. He hits the northern wall. He takes a step into the Holy of Holies. And he turns south. He has to come back to the middle of the Holy of Holies to stand between the two poles of the Aron.
Sorry, isn't there a rope that they tied around him?
He didn't say that yet.
Yes. Kedei, is it coming up?
I don't know. We'll see. Kedei shetehe yemino letzad Aron. He's going to walk back southward, and his right hand is going to be facing the Aron. V'alach ad shegia keneged Aron. He walks back south till he reaches that spot that's opposite the Aron. He's in the holiest place on earth right now. Once a year, he's prepared himself for this moment. V'natan ha-machta shel esh ben shnei abadim. He puts down the shovel filled with coals in between the two poles. V'le'achar shenita la'aron, now in the period at the end of the first temple and then throughout the second temple when we did not have the Aron in the Holy of Holies, natna la'even shtiyah shaita sham, he'd place it on that big stone that was there, That stone was 3 fingers high off the earth. So now he puts down the shovel with the coals. It was 3 fingers high above earth level. Now, when he places the ktores, so he has to place the ktores in his hands, and then from his hands pour it down on the coals. So how does he do that? וחפן הקטורת שבחף לתוך חופניו וצבר הקטורת על גבי גחלים. He'd dig out the ktores from the shovel into his hands. Now that's hard work because he's got to get every last crumb of ktores into his hands because that's the exact measurement of ktores. Rashi learns that he would hold his hands like this and then wiggle the shovel sideways and pour it out into his hands. What happened if he spilled? I guess he didn't spill. He did it really slow.
Why didn't you just pour it?
Because it has to go from his hands onto the coals. Now, it's 2 hands worth in the shovel. So what do? You got to pour out the shovel into his 2 hands. Who's going to do the pouring? He'd lay out the ktores on the coals. V'nizhar shelo yiten ha'ktot al gabei ha'esh ad she'echniso lifnai ve'lifnim. And he was careful that he would only put the ktores on the coals inside the Holy of Holies. Remember the Sadducees said, put it on outside, there should be smoke, and then you enter with smoke. We say no. להוציא מליבן של צדוקים שאומרים שנותן בהיכל ונכנס בענן עשן הקטורת. The Rush says a phenomenal line here. The Rush says we did this to dissuade the Sadducees. What the Rush seems to be saying is, technically we agree with the Sadducees that their way of doing it is also kosher. We say traditionally the Torah doesn't insist on it. So we do it inside. But you'll tell me then do it outside, make them happy too. No, because they're coming to uproot all of our tradition. They're saying, we don't believe in the oral law. It's only kosher if you do it our way. Our tradition, it seems, according to the Rosh, is that it's kosher if you put the Torah on outside. It's kosher if you do it inside. So the rabbis insisted, and remember, they made the Kohen Gadol promise, you go with our tradition. You put the Torah on the coals inside, not outside. Because we're trying to dissuade the Sadducees. No, the Torah isn't up for grabs. There's a tradition, this is our tradition, this is the interpretation, and it's kosher if you do it inside. The Gemara says they'd warn the Kohen to do it intelligently. If he's going to start pouring the Ktores in a forward motion, so then the flames will start flying up at his hands as he's pouring the Ktores. So the rabbis warned him, put the ktores inside and then start pouring it outwardly. So the flames are after your hands, not beneath your hands. But that's not halacha, it's just intelligence. He'd start pouring the ktores further away from himself. Because if he'd start pouring it, like we explained, close to himself and pouring it inward, then he's going to burn his hands. And then the Holy of Holies gets filled with smoke. He leaves the ktores with the coals in there burning. And he walks out backwards. He never turns his back to the Aron. He walks in reverse. Uvisedar ata konanta katuv. And in the, again, in the davening we say in Musaf on Yom Kippur, it says, Timtem einav v'yatza. He'd shut his eyes and go out. Ve'en ze bagmara. And the Gemara doesn't say he has to shut his eyes. Adrabah, mitoch ha-Yushalmi mashma she'eino tzarich. In the Jerusalem Talmud, it seems to say he did not have to shut his eyes. This is what it says in the Jerusalem Talmud. Ad shelo nital aron haya nichnas v'yotze l'oro shel aron. So long as the Aron was in there. So the Aron had a miraculous light. And by that light, he could walk out and see his way out. מי שניתן לארון היה מגשש ונכנס, מגשש ויוצא. After the Aron was taken, so what source of light does he have in here? He's in a closed tent with no source of light. He has his burning coals. And now that he has to walk out, so the Jerusalem Talmud says he'd feel his way out and he'd feel his way in. He's walking in the dark. He's in a dark room in the Holy of Holies.
He counts steps as well. The Holy of Holies is a curtain in the front and it's
fully closed. No source of light. He's in the dark.
So we didn't really see the Holy of Holies.
I don't know.
And I would think maybe the closing the eyes is because of the smoke. I don't know.
I also thought so, but the Rush doesn't say that. When he'd walk out to the Kodesh, to the Heichal, just outside the curtain, he'd say a short prayer, that the year should be the way it should be. He wouldn't daven a long prayer, not to scare everyone. Everyone's waiting for him. Maybe he dropped that in there. He didn't want to scare him. Wow. The holiest moment on earth. He's in the holiest place doing the holiest thing. You'd say, guys, calm down. Give him 5 minutes. Let him talk. No, don't get people nervous. Wow. No. I'm going to have to leave in 1 minute. Let's just finish this. V'natal et adam emi sheya memares v'nichnas lifnai v'lifnim. He takes the blood from the guy who was mixing it. He goes back into the Holy of Holies. V'amad ben abadim. Again, he stands between the two poles of the Aron, v'iza, achat lemala v'sheva lemata, k'neged ha-kaporet. And I think we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow or Thursday, we'll see.